Well, we've been going through since January the book of Ephesians to see what God's word says to us. And we're about halfway through at the moment. And we've been listening to Paul's excitement in what the church in Ephesus achieved there, but also to encourage them to stay on track in their growth. Now, Ephesus, has been said before, was deemed as an important city in the area of what we know today as Western Turkey. And it had a harbour and it had a river. And so it was a really good trading route with all the facilities needed for worldwide trade to other parts of the world. And this book of Ephesians would have been circulated further wide throughout Asia as an encouragement for Christians to grow in faith and obedience. And the actual church at Ephesus had been established and was very much a center for evangelism. But like many churches that flourish for some time, it's easy to let certain things come in. And sometimes a church needs to be reminded to stop it going off the rails. So let's have a look at God's word. We're starting in chapter 4 of Ephesians on verse 17. And we're taking it through to chapter 5 and to verse 7. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. To put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Amen. In one of my Bibles, the passage was headed up as living as children of light, and in another Bible, instructions for Christian living. Now, we saw towards the end of last year, when we looked at the seven churches in the book of Revelations, that Ephesus was the first of the seven churches. And they were warned, you have forsaken your first love. And that's a question that we can ask ourselves today. Has that happened to me? Having been saved, do I just carry on regardless? Going from day to day with the Holy Spirit within us, but without a thought of what Jesus has done in our life? We're God's family here today. We have been grafted into the vine of Jesus because he loves every single one of us. In the past, we were lost, but Jesus brought us back. He has given us a spiritual blessing, and he wants us to be the very best by being faithful and loving to one another in unity. In some of the previous chapters of Ephesians, Paul has talked a lot about unity and maturity. And much of the passage that we have read today is about discipline. Something we're not always too keen about. But God disciplines those he loves. It's so, so, so easy to slip back into our old ways of life. And that can affect our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with others. And through God's word, Paul is encouraging the church to walk in maturity. Not only has he spoken about bitterness, rage and anger, slander, brawling. Now, I don't see many of us actually physically fighting in the sense of brawling, but at the same time, we can still be fighting with problems or with people in our minds. And Paul speaks about our loss of sensitivity. And that's another question. How many times have we been insensitive to others? It's easy to go back to our old ways. I sometimes think the devil has a good old laugh at our expense. He doesn't have to do anything as we tempt ourselves back into our old ways. Now, John Smallwood spoke 3 weeks ago about a small pencil taken from Argos. Handy size, lovely, nobody's going to miss it. Fits in the pocket easily. But if we all did it, then Argos would have to chain their pencils like the banks chain their biros. For those in employment, it can be easy. Pens, pencils, sellotape, staples. Or staying in a hotel and bringing home the bottles of shampoo, conditioner, even a dressing gown if you're in a really good hotel. Whether it's a gold bar in a bank raid or a small pencil, it's still theft. And the temptation of greed is there. And the thing with greed is when we want something more than we want Jesus. And the idea of loving correction is a constant message throughout the Bible. God portrays himself as a loving parent, a father who wants to protect and provide the very best for his children. As Adrian said earlier on, we sang this morning, "You're a good, good father. That's who you are." And he always will be. And here in the church of Ephesus, there was bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice, and all these things grieve the Holy Spirit, as well as our family, our neighbors, and our friends. Family relationships have been the scene of many battles. Two sides not wanting to give in. They shout and scream, and rage builds up quickly. And nobody listens. Any forgiveness is on the other side of the world. Have you been in that situation? Are you even in it now? Verse 22 that I read out, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind." It's time to let go the past ways of life and to replace it with forgiveness and humility and compassion. When we move to chapter 5 in verse 1, it says, be imitators of God. What does that mean, be imitators of God? One of the ways of imitating God is to have a forgiving spirit. The way we imitate our Lord is to act in the same way as he did. Several years ago, I was in Florida and got to know a Christian couple there. And a statement that Michael said was, without forgiveness, love and hate are only four-lettered words. Forgiveness is a mighty, mighty weapon that we have against the devil. Because the devil loves to harbor unforgiveness, which can grow into hatred if we let it. And the devil likes to deceive and divide. If he can cause a misunderstanding between two people and keep those people thinking about it, he has accomplished what he intended. Division. When you hold on to an offense or a misunderstanding without forgiveness taking place, a bitter root can take hold of your life. Our loving God wants us to walk in love. And if you have unforgiveness, walking in love is pretty much impossible. God knows each one of us and how he made us and for what purpose. And it's by God's grace that each of us learn what is needed to get the job done. Having to understand that God is working in everybody's life differently. And we are all on a different level than each other. It's one of the reasons God says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. When we walk in humility, it is one of the secrets of unity. We cannot have Christian unity if we don't have unity. Because wherever there is pride, unity is broken. Real humility realizes that what we are is by the grace of God. And if it wasn't for his grace, we would be nowhere. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Verse 29 of chapter 4 was on about unwholesome talk, gossip, sexual immorality, obscenity, foolish talk, etc. All these things can become idols in our lives. And God hates idols. When we keep these idols, we're trying to sever our relationship with a God who loves us so much. Now, you may say that these were all problems that belong to the Ephesus church and to those throughout Asia, and it's nothing at all to do with us. but we would be wrong to say that. The Bible is God's word of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, if God is prodding you about some of the things that have been in this passage today, will you let go and release what is holding you? Can you replace all the unwholesome things which you have held on to? Because if you can, you will open the door to allow kindness, compassion, and forgiveness to come back into your life. The ability to forgive one another just as Jesus forgave you. There's some here today who just need to talk this out. And there are some who need prayer to uplift them. And you can do it with help and support, as Adrian gave out before I stood up. You know, if you hold on to something, it will harden your heart and eat away at you. If you release what you've been holding on to, it will be a step closer to the love of Jesus, who went to the cross for all your mistakes and died for you. But death couldn't defeat him. And he rose again with an abundance of love for you and for me.